What's up, everybody? Thanks again for stopping by for another edition of March 4th with Mike Bauman. I, of course, am your host, Mike Bauman. Whoever you are, wherever you are listening from, thank you so much for checking out the podcast. If you're a returning listener, I greatly appreciate your continued love and support. And if you're a brand new listener of the show, man, thank you so much for hopping aboard that pirate ship. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod. I am on YouTube at March 4th Pod. My website is march4th.podbean.com. The links to all of my stuff are in the podcast description for this episode. So if you made it here, that means you found me somehow. And I truly appreciate each and every one of you checking out another edition of the March 4th with Mike Bauman podcast. I hope that everybody's doing great, man. This is one of my favorite times of the year with March Madness. We've got the conference tourneys going on. As I'm recording the intro and close to this episode, basketball is coming down the home stretch in the NBA for playoffs. So is hockey. So I don't know if you're a sports fan like me, but this is one of my favorite times of the year, man. So just started a new workout program. So your boy's a little sore. I'm trying to get back into really good shape, man. You know, I just turned 36 recently. So it's like one of those things where it's, you know, you remember days where you were a little bit, you know, things were less cluttered in life. You were a little lighter on your feet. You were a little bit more spry. And I just remember how great of shape I was in 2021, the first time I did the old P90X. And then I go, man, like, you know, and you see some of these folks out there. Now, granted, you know, it's comparing apples to oranges, right? Because I don't have millions of dollars to pay, you know, dietitians and nutritionists and personal trainers and stuff. And, you know, I'm not auditioning to be, you know, the new villain in the next Marvel movie, right? So there's, you know, and I don't play middle linebacker for the Tennessee Titans, you know, so there's no reason for me to be, you know, shredded in a buck 95. And just with my metabolism, what I would have to eat to even get to a buck 95 would be insane. I digress. But you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, I've said, going into this year, I really wanted to make 2024 my best year yet. And we all kind of say that, right? But I really just wanted to focus on discipline. You know, I think that's the one thing that's really been missing is just being more disciplined, you know? And, you know, you get disciplined in your bad habits. And I'm like, no, I want to get disciplined in good habits this year, taking care of myself, being in really good shape. And yeah, I don't have the money to pay a bunch of personal trainers and do all that stuff. But you know what? I've got the Body app, you know, free plug for them on my TV. You know, they're the same company that put out P90 back in the day. And I started a new program, which I did a couple of years ago. And I'm just trying to stay disciplined and do it. So I'm sore this week. And in addition to that, for those of you who listen to the show frequently, you might realize right now that my voice is a little bit more late night smooth jazz radio. Because I'm a little under the weather, man. Just sinuses have been crazy. It's that time of the year, especially here in Nashville, man. We got all these trees and you're sitting in like this big gulch and all the pollen and crap. And I think just from traveling recently, going back home to Ohio and coming back and the temperature changes, like it's 65, going to be 65 today. It was 20 degrees for a low, 25 degrees when I was in Ohio. And even here Monday night, I think it was like under 30 degrees was the low. So the fluctuations of temperature with your boy and the tumor I had in high school, my nasal cavity, I'm pretty susceptible. So anyway, but yeah, I hope everybody's doing good out there, man. I hope that you, you know, as we approach the end of Q1, for those of you in the financial space, as we approach the end of the first 3 months of the year, man, it's crazy that almost a quarter of a year has gone by, but I hope that everybody's 2024 is off to a good start. I hope that you're chasing your dreams, you're persevering, you're moving forward, all the themes of this podcast. And really getting after it, man. And speaking of getting after it, it's a great transition to this week's episode. This guest is one of my favorite people. We've been really great friends for a long time. I've known him since I was 10 years old. And I thought it would be cool to get him back on the podcast. He was actually on the show back in 2022. It's crazy. It's been almost 2 years. But he is none other than my good buddy, Chad Zerniak, truly a brother from another lover. Like I said, we've known each other now over 25 years and we became closer in junior high and then in high school and in our 20s. And even though we don't see each other that much anymore because I live 500 miles away from where he lives, he's back in Ohio and I'm down here in Tennessee and I've been down here since my late 20s. You know, we still communicate text every week, talk crap about sports and music. But on a more serious note, for those of you who didn't hear episode one, he has been sober since January of 2021. So over 3 years now, which is awesome. And on the first episode, with the theme of the show being March 4th, persevering, moving forward, we talked about his journey to sobriety. So we talked about our upbringings, what it was like growing up Catholic, both of us being children of divorce, and kind of what led to, the rock bottom for him to, with his drug and alcohol abuse and getting to a point where he became sober. And we touched on it, but what that journey, was like for him, and then coming out of that process and just a renewed, zest and passion and direction for life. And I think what's really cool about his journey and why I wanted to get Chad back on the show is because he's really channeled that into helping other people. His journey to sobriety wanted to make him help other people get sober and turn the course in their life too. So he actually went to school after he got sober, and he now works in addiction recovery, which I think is really awesome that he's channeled his experience into now he's one of the first people that folks who are entering that process see and helping them on their initial path to recovery. And so I wanted to get him back on the show to talk about the second half of his journey now. The first half was what ultimately led to rock bottom and getting sober, and the initial year plus that he had been sober when we had talked, and now it's what these past few years have been like, and some of the keys to him staying sober, what he'd learned about himself, things that have helped him, things that he thinks will help other people, and working in addiction recovery. So without further ado, I'm going to shut my big yapper and give you guys my conversation with my great friend, my brother from another lover, Chad Czerniak. Here it is. Well, there's the creepy robot lady. Well, Chad, it's always good catching up with you, man.
Yeah.
Known each other for a long time, been buddies for a long time. Like brothers from other mothers, and we love and fight like brothers too, and purposely sometimes I think attack guys each other just because what are friends for? But
oh my god, 100%.
But yeah, man, it's crazy to think we're coming up on. Gosh, I think I met you in 1998, so 26 years when I was a bowl cutted, sports goggles wearing CYO football player at Christ the King, and we've been friends ever since, man. And you recently hit 3 years of sobriety, so congrats, and you're doing
Thank
a lot
you. Of
the first time you came on the show was a really really great episode of the podcast, not just in terms of numbers, but just even your story and everything you shared, man. So thanks for coming back on, and thanks for sharing all that the first time.
I appreciate that. And geez, Luis, 26 years. Are you serious?
Yeah, dude, we're going to be, well, our other good buddy, Dave, is already 36, but, we're approaching 36. So yeah, I was 25 years, 99 or was it 98? No, it was fifth grade. So yeah, it would have been 98. So yeah, 26 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah, I was about to say 25. That makes a massive difference.
Yeah, because we start in fifth grade. So yeah, I was 10 going on 11. So that's a long time, man.
Yeah. No, it's crazy, and it's a testament to good friendship. A lot of people that moved or went through things or whatever. Sometimes life just happens with college and families and all that, and we've been able to kind of all be constants, in a variety. So to even be able to do this and hang out and hang out like we did on Christmas, that was pretty cool.
Hell yeah, man. Well, and I think that's at the end of the day, right? Like you make priorities and you make time for the people that are the most important to you, man. And our friendship has stood the test of time, and I think that's what's cool, because like any friends or family, you know, you have your differences, but at the end of the day, that love is still that base layer. And if that's the truth and that's what it comes down to, then those people will always be around, you know. And I think
For
we're both
sure.
life with the stuff each of us has gone through, you know, as course, and you with your sobriety and me with my anxiety struggles and stuff, like there's always going to be a certain level of darkness that occurs in life. But at the same time, it's how do you push through that, and how do you respond to it? You know what I mean? And you know, at
Yeah.
the like I think the older we get, especially after the last couple of years, and you know, on a personal level, just the loss that's happened in both of our worlds, right? Like you're more mindful of how finite time really is, you know. So and I know I've said it to you before, and we said it to each other before, but you know, not letting BS and little stuff get in the way, because it's like you never know when your time is going to be up, you know. So yeah, it's cool that we're approaching 26 years of friendship. And it's also cool because this episode is going to come out our birthday month of March, which will be cool. I think I may have told you this before, but my niece has the same birthday as you, March 21st, Aubrey. So
I'll be damned. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, man. Yeah, the first time. So for people who don't know, Chad and I have been buddies for a really long time. And the first episode that he came on here with the theme of the show being perseverance and moving forward, you know, was him talking about how he arrived at his sobriety from drugs and alcohol. And also about how that journey led him into wanting to help other people and discovering his purpose and working in addiction recovery. So I thought it'd be cool to get him back on here to talk about what that's been like over these past couple of years. Cause we talked, I think it was a little over a year sober in 2022, and now 2 years later, just wanted to get you back on and catch up and talk to you about that journey's been like, man. So just what has that path been like? I guess just to start there, as far as the past couple of years, man.
No, that's actually crazy too, because I believe that it was just before I started working at Detox that we had talked. And you know, I had taken a job at St. Charles to work in the behavioral health unit. Would have been a great opportunity. Met some, you know, I went there a couple times. I was given the job offer, and they were like, you know, just kind of let us know tomorrow. Let its fate would have it, Midwest calls, and they're just like, hey, we got a spot at Detox. Might be a little less than you're looking for. Might not quite be the hours that you're looking for, but would you like to interview for it? So I was like, what do I got to lose? I'll go interview. You know, and it was also the place that I went to Detox myself. So it was just, I slept on it, man. I kept coming back to this. It's just like, this just almost feels like where my journey began and then my recovery journey can start. So I went in there, I had a great interview, and I had, you know, and now I'm at a crossroads because I'm just like, shit, this feels good. I want to do this, but this other place is going to have more money. You know, you're working maybe 3 or 4 days a week. Opportunity for growth seemed better, but I just kept coming back to Midwest. I just kept coming back to like, this just feels right. I chased money for so long, you know, in my addiction, and it never made me happy. Like, I know if I find something I'm good at, which is something I believed at the time I was going to be good at, like that money, that growth, that stuff will come with hard work and not just that instant gratification that, you know, for so long in my life I looked for. So to tell you a little bit about the journey, I started Detox. Detox is, you know, when people detox and they're coming in just at the lowest point of their life, not feeling good, just feeling like absolute trash. So that was an opportunity for me to just kind of really center myself into, you know, this is where you were, like you are the first, you can be that voice or that reason for them to really know that recovery is possible. So I did that for about 7 months, 8 months. And then since then I've been doing intakes. So I do assessments, do UA, urinary analysis, drop people, and then I just kind of get to be that first person that sends them to detox or sends them to residential. And, you know, just both categories are just as rewarding. You know, it's been awesome. 2 years on my birthday, ironically, too.
Oh, cool, man. Congrats.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned seeing people at a low point, like You know, you were there yourself, you know, when you were getting sober and checking in into rehab and stuff. I mean, so I think for them, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think seeing somebody who has been through it and come out on the other side, I would think that that would, I mean, and again, I'm sure it depends on the individual and what state they're in, right? Everybody's different and how far off they are and whatnot, but seeing somebody who and knowing somebody who's been through it, like how much of your story do you get to share with them in that process? Do they get to know, like, hey, I'm somebody who actually, you know, went through recovery and I've been sober for a few years now. You know, do you get to touch on your journey at all with them, or is it more kind of like checking them in?
It's, you know, I'll kind of gauge it based off of how the client is. You know, if they're at a point where I think they need some kind of motivation or somebody to just kind of say, like, hey, I might not have walked your path. I might not have had the same struggles you are. But I remember sitting in this chair and I remember just needing that voice to just carry on one more day, just keep fighting. Like the light at the end of the tunnel is so close, like you'll start seeing it. You know, some ones that'll come in that just are, you know, just there going through the motions. You know, I'll try to just, you know, give them some motivation to go. Others, it's just kind of hit and miss how I can gauge them. I, you know, doing it for so long, you kind of get to see who needs what, who needs more motivation, who needs less, who's kind of at that point where they're just like, I just need the support. I just need somebody to show me that they believe. Or, you know, if there's somebody who comes in that's just, you know, needs more of my story or needs more of somebody else's story, you know, that's when we're really able to just kind of be like, hey, we went through this program. Like, I'll tell clients that are going into detox, I'll be like, hey, if you were in room, you know, whatever, and if you get bed two, that's the same bed that I was in. Or if you get into this apartment, like, and you're, you know, what apartment were you in? I apartment seven. I'm like, oh shit, that's the same apartment I went to. So just little motivating factors like that, because then they'll look at me or they'll look at one of the intakes or they'll look at somebody else that can have some semblance of that story, and they're like, holy shit, look at them now. Like, they're working a 9 to 5, they're, you know, 9 to 6, whatever time we get off. You know, they're, you know, they got nicer shoes, they got nicer clothes, you know, they're not wearing shit that's got mustard stains on it, like looking like they've been rolling around a forest for a couple of days. Like, you know, it's just any little thing you can do that can help show somebody that that's a better way of life. Like, that's why I keep my hair, that's why I keep my hair nice, that's why I try to wear nice shoes. Like, for so long in other jobs, they tell you dress nice, they tell you dress presentable, whatever. Like, I'm not gonna come into work and wear a fucking tuxedo. Like, that's the last thing somebody at a low point in their life wants to see, you know? But I'm gonna wear jeans. I might wear this, you know, I might wear a shirt like this. Like, I, you know, got my jewelry, you know, they're just fucking chains, man, you know? But I'm just like, I'm gonna dress presentably, but I'm also gonna have that look of like, exude confidence, you know, just looking nice. I'm probably wording this terribly, but it's just, you just like look presentable, look at like, just look like, you know, make your words mean something to these people. Give them a reason to be like, shit, if they did it, if they went through the same program, if they went through the same detox, res, and housing that I can do, like, dude, that could be me one day. And like, to be a part of that, like, it's awesome,
Yeah, no,
dude.
I think you're articulating it fine, man. Don't be too hard on yourself. But no, I feel you, because like, yeah, if you look presentable and you're clean cut and you don't look disheveled, and you know it they can look at you and see somebody that's like, oh, you know what I mean? Like, and I do think that old saying, dress for the job you want, is true. No matter what the job is, dress for the job you want. But especially in a job like you have, where it's a very literal front role with the people who are rolling in and on the facility, to see somebody who's presentable, it's probably motivating to them, especially if they're a little disheveled or they got a 5 o'clock shadow going, or like you said, their clothes are messed up because God only knows where they slept the last week, right? So I think that there's such image isn't the most important thing, but it is the first pe thing people see when they meet you. So it is important standpoint from a first impression.
For sure. For sure. Yeah, so basically they get to talk to me. I get to just kind of, you know, give them some words of wisdom, just kind of let them know, like, hey, you got this. Like, I know it's a low point right now. I can, you know, I might not have walked your path, but I sympathize with how you're feeling. But if I can give you any, you know, motivation, just go out there and just take this one day at a time. Like, you know, I'll tell them about my sobriety, like, because I have this app on my phone, and then I always know, like, where my sobriety date is at. You know, I'm always just like, hey, I'm 3 years, you know, for example, today, 3 years, 1 month, and 12 days, or I'm sorry, 14 days, shit, sorry. I'm this amount of time sober, whatever it is. And I was just like, but I didn't get to this amount of time without that day one. I didn't get there without day two. I didn't get here without completing that first week. I didn't get to sit in this chair without going to school. And it's not like a tooting your own horn type thing, but it's letting them know, like, be proud of the progress that you're making, but also know that the journey never stops. Always keep yourself hungry for that next thing. You know, kick day six's ass, but then once it starts getting the end of the night, just plan, you know, you got that 1 week sober. And then get that 8 day and get that 9. You know, it's just all about knowing how to celebrate the moment, but also start planning for your future. And that's what I, you know, was instilled in me. And I really want to help clients to understand that it's just like, you're sitting in this chair for a reason. You and I are having this conversation for a reason. Like, I can't write the rest of your story for you. Only you can do that. But it's up to you to find out what that reason is.
Yeah, so as somebody who's been for 3+ years now, man, are there any particular things that you can look at, whether they're like turning points or things that have kept you on that path of sobriety, even in those low moments, that you feel like are universal things that you could share with people out there?
Yeah, just always wanting to fight for that next day. Remembering where you came from, and, you know, one of the big things my therapist did was to have me look at my phone and see where I was a year before that day, 2 years before that day, when I was still in my active addiction. So I could really take an appreciation of how far I've came. The big thing you got to remember in recovery is, just because you're feeling better doesn't mean that life's going to stop. Doesn't mean that that shit day at work's not going to happen, or, you know, conflict with family is going to happen. It's just all about keeping yourself in that moment and remembering why you do what you do. One thing that helps me is, in those moments of clarity that I had in my addiction, where I'd sit in bed and I'd say, you know, tomorrow's the day I'm gonna get that job that I'm proud to have. I'm gonna actually have money in my bank account and not have to cross my fingers when I go to the gas station and try to get a 99-cent Arizona iced tea, hoping that my card's not gonna decline. You know, I'm going to have a place of my own. I'm going to be able to pay bills. I'm going to be able to do this, you know, and then that next day comes and you're at a crossroads. Am I going to do all this stuff that I said I was going to do, or am I going to go get high again? And this one always wins. So for me, it's just always remembering that. And then what keeps me going, especially in this line of work, is if I'm telling clients all these things that I believe that have helped me, and then I'm at home and I'm drinking and I'm going back to the same shit that I was doing before. Like, how am I giving you something to believe in when I can't even follow through with it on myself? You know, but the biggest thing that you got to remember is these achievements, these milestones, these things don't happen if you don't take care of today. Like I said, bad days are going to happen. Great days are going to happen. But it's all about celebrating those days, being thankful for a bad day that you're laying your head down on your pillow, that or your couch, or wherever you're sleeping, and being like, I got a chance to do this again tomorrow. When you have a great day, same thing. You lay down and you're like, today was great, but how can I make tomorrow even better? It's just all about finding that balance of what you can do. Lord knows I've had plenty of crap days myself. What keeps me going is the chance to help someone the next day. Or when it's a weekend now, just like, I'm not going to lie, what's keeping me going is knowing tomorrow that I don't have to set an alarm. I get to sleep in. I get to make some eggs. Maybe have some oatmeal or something. Probably do some laundry. But it's just all about keeping everything in balance and just, you know, living in the moment, planning for that future, but knowing that these things that you want, these things that you're planning for, don't happen if you don't take care of the now.
Yeah, and I know for both of us too. And thanks again for sharing that, man. Music is a big motivator for both of us. And again, our really good buddy, Dave, as well. We all have similar sensibilities when it comes to heavy music. We all have our favorites and the stuff that we enjoy the most. Obviously you're rocking the All That Remains shirt right now. I'm rocking the Local Flavor with the Mutilatred hat. We've got some mutual friends in that band. Shout out Pat, who we graduated with. Todd. How much do things like that, whether it's music, sports, you know, play a role for you in terms of things to look forward to? Because I mean, music is central to why I do this podcast. It's something that I love a lot, but it's also like, you know, I have really bad days and I can listen to, you know, a really heavy song, whether it's like Korn or Gojira, or I can listen to, you know, some heartbreak anthems with some of the stuff that I've dealt with the last couple of years that helped me get that stuff out of my system. You know, like how big has music played a role for you? Because I know you even got a new tattoo after becoming sober that has to do with music.
Yeah. The tattoo, and I'll kind of try to get on this little thing. It's the album art from Let It Enfold You by Senses Fail. And this is what I saw during my addiction. And this is me constantly having a look at it. So for me, yeah, music's definitely huge. Whether it's album art like that, lyrics, I know David Draymond, when Disturbed came in here, he had a big, he had a fairly, I want to say long, but I want to say it was pretty powerful monologue about mental health. And, you know, he's written some songs about that, and him and some of the band has been pretty, pretty spoken on that. So stuff like that, I appreciate. You know, the heaviness stuff to like really motivate me, because I'm slowly but surely getting back into the gym. I had a little bit of a spare tire that I'm trying to work off. But you know what? Then there's also some other stuff. Like, I'm not really a big rap guy, but Dax has written some songs like Dear God, Dear Alcohol. The Abyss is if there was a soundtrack for my sobriety, which I may or may not be working on, that song would definitely make an appearance on there. So music's been crucial for me. Music, you know, just, and not necessarily before you're listening to it, it's stuff that just like revs you up, or just, you know, really just makes you wanna, you know. And for me, heavy music and doing coke, like that kind of went hand in hand. Like, you know, I'm ready to fucking rock. But now it's like you just really pay more attention to, you know, that aspect of it. If you're trying to get yourself pumped up, but also lyrically too, like stuff by Lamb of God, stuff by Killswitch, you know, Devil, You Know, stuff like that for me is just really not so much more about the beat, but it's just, you know, really powerful lyrics that I really try to live by in some scenarios.
Are there any songs in particular? And I was just about to say that. I know we've talked about that before, but yeah, you gotta share that playlist out, man. And I'll share it too. But are there any lyrics in particular that have resonated, or any songs you want for the listeners out there who might be curious?
Oh boy. Dude, there are so many putting me on the spot here. As I Lay Dying, A Greater Foundation is a big one for me. I mean, you can pretty much plug and play anything Lamb of God in there. Killswitch, No Devotion. That song is, I mean, that is, you got No Devotion, and then you got, hold on, gonna verify something here. I don't want to say the name of the song wrong. It's one of those that's right on the tip of my tongue. I Feel Alive Again. I mean, those are back to back on the B sides of that track. But again, man, there's so many. There's Senses Fail. Shoot, I mean, I got to peel it out of my bag here. Like, I even have my list of stuff I've been working on. So, like, I can just read you a few of on there, like, stuff like when I was in my addiction, you're looking at, like, Senses Fail, Hair of the Dog, Right Back at It Again, A Day to Remember, Your Buddy's Korn, Finally Free, I mean, My Curse, Rose to Sharon, Arms of Sorrow, All Killswitch songs. Like, dude, there's so many lyrically wise. And the biggest thing is just, you know, not, you want to find something that has its meaning, but at the same time, like, I do believe in all of our lives, like, whether you're going through your addiction, whether you're going through, or whether you haven't went through an addiction, like, certain music speaks to you. Like, maybe subliminally these words are speaking to you that you never really paid attention to, but then you kind of get into a crossroads. And for me, it was like, you know, once I got sober, I really started paying attention more to the lyrics than I ever had before. And it's just, you know, all the songs that I listened to before now hold an even special meaning because they've all been there with me while I went through this journey that I'm on and have inspired me each in their own ways to get to where I'm at today and where I continue to want to, you know, grow to tomorrow.
Yeah. And it's wild. And thanks for sharing that, man. Cause yeah, I know the listeners too will be curious that if they're like us, where they're like, oh, well, there's some other songs or other artists I'm not aware of that could be really powerful.
Yeah.
But, it really is amazing power of music.
I was going to say one more for the listeners on there. If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, We Came as Romans, One More Day is a powerful one to really listen to. And that's actually something that I share every year on Overdose Awareness Day, August 31st of every year. So give that one a check it out. It's a very powerful song because they actually lost their lead singer to an overdose in 2018.
Yeah, and that's just it, right? Yeah. Like, ultimately, there's people who don't get the chance to share their stories, you know. And I know one of the last times we spoke, not for something like, but just having a candid conversation, and you know, me talking to you about some stuff, like, you know, and some concerns and whatnot. And you know, there's people who don't get a chance to make it, or like you said, even in recovery. And there's a name for it. I'm sure that you'll know just working it, that's escaping me right now. But like families who come in and speak to people who are in the program about loved ones they lost, or you know, people that whether it was addiction, and overdosing was suicide, you know. And music is a powerful force. It's a motivating thing. You know, for me, heavy music has always been a positive release of negative emotion. You know, channeling anger, you know, not to head, but you know, people be listening to the audio, but the pull up bar behind me, like just listening to it. So there, it's an exercise, a good release. And you and I have even talked about, and there was actually a documentary that came out years ago. If I remember the name, I'll share it in the description for this. It's about this test they did where they brought in, at the time it was iPad or iPod minis, and they brought it into this nursing home, and there was, you know, people in there that could barely speak. One guy in particular who used to be a musician in the day, and he was so aphasic, and I think in early throes of definitely dementia, right? And they put music on from his era, and you just see his eyes light up, and then all of a sudden he's recalling memories from like 60 years ago, and this is a guy who talk. So the power of music is very, very real. Very.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, in the time we have left, man, and thanks again so much for doing this, dude. I know there's HIPAA stuff out there, and so I'm not asking you to like name names or anything, but having been in this work now, and discovering this purpose that you have of wanting to help people, which I think is really awesome, you know, turning negatives into positives. Like, you're literally living that, dude. Like, are there any success stories that you've seen where people were maybe, you know, you saw somebody that looked like a reflection of you, and you're like, I know exactly where that person is at, and now they're on their path to sobriety as well?
There's so many, and you know, it's hard to pick out just one, because you know, you'll get people that'll come in that'll go through detox and they'll go through res, and you know, then they'll come back because we have to see them for, you know, when they step down, you know, to another level of care, and they'll be like, you know, I only have, you know, my 7 to 10 days of detox or my residential, like I haven't even gotten 2 months, like, but yeah, when I saw you, you didn't even have 24 hours. Like, when I saw you and I asked you about the previous year, you couldn't string together multiple days that you had been sober. It was a constant thing of use. Now you have 40 days. You know, there's been, you know, there's times, there's people like that. There's a guy that came in that me and this dude actually had words the first time he came in. Like I, you know, I'm not really proud of it. And I told on myself afterwards, cause I thought that, you know, in my mind at the time, I thought it was a punishable offense, because I had to go, you know, a little old school angry chat on this guy that was like, you need to take this shit seriously. Like, aren't you tired of living this fucking life that you are? Aren't you tired of your parents worrying about you? Like, if you don't want to be here, go fucking somewhere else, because you're wasting my time and you're wasting our therapist's time. And after he left the room, because he ended up leaving that day, and I said, I went and told on myself, because I was like, I know I should have handled that better. I was like, but, you know, I guess tying back into what you initially asked, part of me saw myself in that. And I was frustrated, because it was like, I'm still blessed every day that I went into treatment one time. And I've been fortunate to be where I'm at. I should have been in treatment years ago. I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that, you know, I was not that bad. But I'm thankful and fortunate to be in the position that I am. But I remember how, you know, when I had conversations before and people were like, you know, oh, why don't you seek out a detox program, or why don't you do this? Like, I wanted to do the bare minimum work to get people off my back, to just really feel like I did something while not having to put any pressure, not really having to peel those layers back and finding out what truly made me tick. So I explained that to my supervisor. My supervisor is just like, I appreciate that. Like, you're not in any trouble. You just basically gave a tough love type thing. Like, and then as luck would have it, the dude came back the next day and was night and day a different person. And I told him, and I started saying like, hey, like, no hard feelings on the thing. But before I even got that out, he literally looked at me and was just like, I needed a kick in the ass. He goes, I had a lot of things going on, and our conversation got the ball rolling on me. He goes, I need to be here in detox. I'm going to detox, and you know, this is something that I need to change. And last I saw him, which is just a couple weeks ago, he's now in IOP level of care. Like, he's been going at it for a little over 2 months now. So there's plenty of other stories, Mike. I draw inspiration from people who seek treatment. I draw inspiration from people like that have gone through treatment. Even though they frustrate you, I mean, the ones that are constantly coming back, it shows that there's something on them that cares, but something that just hasn't clicked yet. And, you know, the ones that are still struggling out there, the ones that just need that voice, like, reach out. People are there to support you. That was one of my biggest worries was, you know, are people going to support me? Are people going to write me off? Is all the shit that I've done over the years going to finally come to light and people are going to write me off? Dude, the support that I've got is why I'm sitting here today. The support that I got is why I have the job that I do. So reach out to those people. You know, just take that time and be like, I need help. As embarrassing as that night when I sought out help from my dad and my brothers, as embarrassing as that was, it was truly life-saving for me. So I just want everybody to be able to experience that wants recovery, to be able to experience it, because, dude, just in a word, it's freaking beautiful.
Well, I appreciate you sharing that, dude. Yeah, like we've talked about, man, and the stuff that you've shared with me, there's a lot of people who don't get a chance to live to tell the tale, you know, and I'm sure there's, you know, we have, you know, different levels of spirituality, and I know both of us are, you know, we had bonds with our grandfathers that still carry on, you know, and I know he has played a pivotal role in your recovery too. And, I'm glad you're still here. I love you. And, I know your family, the Zerniak fam, is proud too. It's wild again, that Toledo thing, like the 6 degrees of separation, like our dads knew each other growing up and stuff. And, all these connections, man. But, you know, I really appreciate our bond as friends, and I'm really happy about the path that you're on, dude. And especially that you're giving back, you know, like, I think it's important in life, not to sound preachy, but to find ways that you can help people. I think sometimes people think, you know, in the United States, we always think about money first, you know, oh, I can't, But it's not about that. It's really about even time. You know what I mean? If you can afford to donate at your company's food drive, maybe you can volunteer, or and even doing little things for people every day, holding the doors for people, just having a kind heart, making somebody laugh. Like, I was getting my taxes done earlier today, and the lady asked me to, okay, I need to see your license to get everything in the system. And I was like, well, that's my government alias name on that. Will that work? And when somebody's like not expecting to hear something, did you say something? She was like, and the lady at the desk, like 20 feet away, just started like laughing. And it's just like little stuff like that, where it's like you connect with somebody more than just like a task, and you leave like a person behind. And you've always had a really good sense of humor, and both of us, our senses of humor range from like really dark to really, really goofy. And it's important in the process. Long way of me saying, man, I'm really glad you're still here, and I'm glad you're on that path to recovery. And I guess just to put a button on this thing, man, I mean, obviously you're based in Toledo with Midwest, but are there any resources top of mind that you could think of that you would like me to share, or any closing messages that you want to leave people with?
I want to leave, just reach out. I mean, we're also technology based anymore, it's just a quick Google search of detoxes Toledo, Ohio, or detoxes, Tennessee. You're Andersonville, is it?
Andersonville. Dave always jokes about, he always jokes with me and says West Chesterton Fieldville or whatever from Misfits. But yeah, it's Andersonville, Tennessee. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, just Google those, search, reach out. Like, you can always talk to somebody about these kind of things. There's help numbers out. And what I found is a lot of it, somebody knows somebody who knows somebody type thing. Just don't hesitate to reach out. Don't hesitate to ask these questions. Don't hesitate to, if there's something on your mind, like you can Google, Bing, whatever search engine you want to use. As far as a treatment center, like, there are ones that, obviously I'm at Midwest, but, we're not really rivals because we're all doing the same fight. Like, I would recommend Racing for Recovery. I'd recommend Team Recovery. I'd recommend Zeph Center. I'd recommend UTMC, like, Arrowhead. They're all doing the same thing. They're trying to help people. And that's why I got into this, not to be a rival. Like, I want to see them get, I want to see them get help through me. I'd love to be that person. But at the same time, if they can go to a Racing, if they can go to Zephyr, or any of the other ones I mentioned, and they seek a better life, everybody wins. Nobody loses in that end. But it's just all about wanting that help. It's all about knowing that I'm tired of living this life. I know I seek better for myself. I know others seek better for me. Like, I want to take a stand right now and start living the life that I envisioned when I was a kid. So,
dude, I think that's a great place to put a button on it, man. I love you, and I'm proud of you, and I mean that. And it's hard to find friends that stick around as long as you. And I really appreciate that bond. I'm really grateful that I can count on more than two hands the people that I love and that love me. But it's cool to have ride or dies like you. Where we've known each other since we were little dudes, and we're still friends now, as we are rocking the beards and dealing with the creaks and aches and pains that come with being in our mid-30s, man. But keep fighting the good fight, man. I really appreciate you coming back on here and sharing your continued progress with myself and the listeners, because I think it's important to let people know, and that's really the central theme of the show, is perseverance and moving forward. Like, you can't have the light without the dark. And a lot of us, myself included, at times, fear kind of gets in the way, and there's kind of a literal metaphorical thing there of fearing the darkness, but the darkness can kind of teach us ourselves. And in a lot of ways, that darkness can kind of make us better if we're fortunate enough and have, the wherewithal internally to push through it. And in addition to having motivating things like family, friends that we can count on, music, all of those things go into making us who we are, man. So I'm really proud of you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. And it's kind of tying back into what we were talking about music wise. What you said right there just reminds me of a lyric from Disturbed that maybe someday I might get tatted on me, but it's always been one that stuck with, that has stuck with me, if I could use my words, is sometimes darkness can show you the light. And that's what I, for myself, always keeps me moving every day and always to remember. Because, like, for, you know, if you have something embarrassing happen, or if you have something that you're not exactly proud of, you kind of want to erase that from your memory. I have strings of years of those that, by and large, I, you know, early on was just like, I want to forget that those exist. But I get to use those experiences to help people. I get to use those experiences to be a light, you know, a beacon for somebody to be like, you know, we've walked different paths, you know, a different path of addiction, but it's like those paths can lead you to beautiful things. Like the path that I had to walk has led me to be able to be doing what I'm doing at Midwest. And touching back on the other treatment centers, you know, I'm pretty sure that there's other people that can say the same thing, that their path that have led them to doing what they're doing. I want to continue to grow with where I'm at. Like, I'm happy being an intake specialist, but, you know, I believe that there's some big things in store this year, but I just remember where I was at. And I just always want to continue to strive to be better, help as many people as I can along the way, and just, you know, continue to be better than I was the day before, man. That's how it is. But like you said, you're doing some big things too. I appreciate getting the chance to be on this podcast. Wish I got to see a little bit more, but you're 17 hours away in Nashville. But it's always appreciated getting to touch base like this. And I'm always honored to be on here, and hopefully your listeners can tolerate my naggy voice for a little bit of time.
Well, I love you, dude, and you're welcome back anytime. And I know that's been one of the harder things about moving away is there's still so many people like yourself back home in the 419 that I miss. I don't miss the cold necessarily, even though the heat down here it drives me nuts in the summer. Sticky back home too. Not to bore people with weather talk, but it's nice being in a milder climate. And obviously with our love for music, I mean, it's being in the Music City, there's no better place to be. It's literally everything here, and anybody you want to see plays here, which is really cool. But yeah, but you know, Northwest Ohio will always be where my heart is, because that's what molded me. That's what shaped me. There's, you know, bad and good that came from my experiences growing up, but mostly good. It's, you know, the work ethic, toughness and determination, and great family and friends, man. So I love you, and you're welcome back anytime.
I appreciate it. I look forward to it, and it's been awesome. I can't believe it's already been an hour, but it was a blast, man. And I can't, you had said at the very beginning that it was 2 years, and I had to sit and think. I'm like, was that really 2 years? Because I was sitting in my way, it was when I was still living at home, and I'm like, yeah, that was 2 years ago. And I was sitting on a kitchen chair, and how I had my phone propped up was I was using this box that had a bed in it that hadn't put back together, and using like a freaking what the hell was I using? I think it was like a coffee mug or something to prop my phone up. So I'm just like, oh, a little different setting them in an office this time, but this is still kind of nice.
Moving on up, man.
Yeah.
Going.
Yeah. No, but like I said, Mikey, I appreciate you, man. It was a blast getting to talk to you, and always honored to stop by. I got the podcast. It's you and Bill Burr that play for me every day. So,
well, it truly means a lot, man. Yeah, I really appreciate it, and hopefully one day I can get numbers like the old Billy Burr. But at the end of the day, I mean, being able to create small positive ripple effects, you know, one listener is really cool, man. I really love doing this stuff, especially when I get friends on like you. So it's a pleasure.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I appreciate it. I appreciate the time. Honored to be a part of this. And it was great talking to you.
All righty, dighty, there you have it. That was my conversation with my good buddy, Chad Zerniak. I just want to say, Chad, thank you again so much, dude, for coming back on the podcast and giving myself and the listeners an update on your sobriety journey and, you know, what you're doing with yourself since that time and helping other people, things that have helped you stay sober and stay on that that good path, man. I love you so much, dude, genuinely. You know, we love each other like brothers. We fought like brothers. And but at the end of the day, man, the real ones always stick around and the real ones are always there for you. And no matter what ups and downs, you know, each of us on our own have gone through in our lives and in our personal lives, and what we've gone through and our ups and downs in our friendship, it always comes back to brotherhood, man. And I truly love you like a brother from another lover, and I mean it. And I'm really proud of you, man. I'm really proud of this journey that you've been on. And again, I think the fact that you have translated what you went through in a positive way, and that you want to help other people, and you've been on that journey in addiction recovery and working in addiction recovery with people coming into detox and whatnot. I just think it's really cool. I think it's really cool that you've turned that negative into a positive. And I know your family's proud of you, your dad, your brothers, your grandpa. You know, both of us have that connection with our grandfathers, and we didn't get it into that on this show, but, you know, I know they're both watching over us and they're proud. I got a picture of mine and my grandma, right next to my computer as I'm recording this, man. So, and the first conversation, if you like this conversation, you guys didn't hear the first one, go back and listen to that episode, because it really was a powerful conversation as well. And Chad talks about his grandfather in that one, but long way of me saying, man, I know both of our grandfathers would be proud of us and what we're doing with our lives, and certainly yours, Chad, with the path that you're on now, man. So I love you. And I love all of you, genuinely, man. It's not lip service. I really appreciate everybody who's been on this journey with me with March 4th, and you know, people who are you know, checking out the show, people recently who have come onto my radar and had a lot of really kind things to say about this podcast and are linking me up with other people. I'm just really grateful, man, for all the love that I've been receiving as well. And if you did like the conversation that you just heard and you are new to this pirate ship, if you would be so kind, go on to Apple, leave a rating and review. If you have Spotify, you can also leave a rating there for the show. Tell a friend to tell a friend, share it on social media, like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes. All those things go a long way in helping the show get out to more people. And ultimately, that's what I want, man. You know, obviously, I have a lot of musicians on this show because I love music. And, you know, it's a powerful force, you know, in Chad's life and in my life, you know. And you know, as we talked about, you know, we have that connection with heavy music. We've gone to numerous shows together over the years, as well as our really good buddy, Dave. Shout out, Dave. We love you, man. And, you know, music is a driving force as well. But with the theme of the show being perseverance and moving forward, I also like to share stories like Chad's, you know, because there's a lot of people who can relate, you know, whether they're on a path to sobriety or thinking about it, you know, whether they've got people in their family or friends that they know who have struggled with addiction issues of any kind, substance abuse. You know, at the end of the day, we're all human and we all go through things, and having the space to talk about these things is really important. And I know I need to stop prefacing, because I'm not a boastful person, you know, because I don't mean it in a self-righteous way, but that's why I really love doing this podcast, because we explore these dark places. Long way of saying that, you know, talking about these things and being open, and obviously it's with the right people. You got to be comfortable. But I think it's important to share these things, and I'm really happy that I have a platform where, you know, I can be vulnerable with my guests and with you all, and they can be vulnerable with myself and you all as well. And I just think it's a powerful thing to share. You know, Chad went through his addiction issues, but his story is one of perseverance and moving forward, and very much tied into the theme of the show, in addition to him being somebody that I just love very, very much. And I genuinely am really proud of him. So, you know, I'm going to share a couple of links in the podcast description. You know, things that I think might be helpful to anybody out there who's struggling, or somebody who knows somebody that's struggling. But, you know, keep the faith and be kind to one another. Like I say at the end of every show, is a tribute to my grandfather, man. You know, life is short, but at the same time, there are so many beautiful things out there waiting for you that you can accomplish. And a lot of it just comes from self-belief, getting out of our own way, and also surrounding ourselves with the right people. that can help us, you know, and help us turn over a new leaf and become the best version of ourselves as well. And I'm just, I'm so proud that Chad is in a better place mentally and spiritually in his life, and that he's taken the negative of his journey and turned it into a positive, man. So once again, check the podcast description for the links. If you enjoyed what you heard, please share. You can follow me on Instagram at March 4th Pod, on YouTube at March 4th Pod. I'm on TikTok now at March 4th Podcast, working on these video clips, y'all. YouTube, all that stuff, it's all in the podcast description. So feel free to reach out and let me know what you thought. And yeah, man, I love you all. Keep the faith and be kind to one another. Even though there wasn't a musician on this week's show, Chad and I both love music, and I was trying to think of a song that would be kind of applicable to our conversation, but also something that I feel like is uplifting and motivating. And we both love heavy music. So it's something that's a little bit heavier, but it's very motivating lyrically. So this week's tune is actually from a band that were heavy hitters in the local music scene where I'm from in Northwest Ohio for a really long time. Their new band is Star Sleeper. Definitely go check them out. But the reason I pulled this one out of the archives is just because lyrically, musically, emotionally, the fact that Chad and I have this shared love for heavy music, it's a great song that I really think ties into the message of this particular episode. And it's just a song that to this day is just as fresh as it was when I heard it over a decade ago. This is off the record 9 from the band Once Over. This song is called Not This Time. Peace.